Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Your ears are lucky for listening to this podcast, and you are listening to the very first episode 8 of Game Pass or Pass. Actually, it might be episode 9. Now I have to look it up. Now this is just going to be awkward.
Way to go. Way to go.
While I'm just typing, and I'm like, man, I really got to find the name of this episode or the number of this episode. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, it is episode 8 of Game Pass or Pass. You might have heard of it by now, hopefully. This is the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, so you don't have to, even though we want you to play some of them. But we're going to tell you which ones are good and which ones are bad, or that you could simply pass on. Get it?
Name of the show.
Because you could pass it on, as in, like, hey, you should check this out, or pass it on, as in, like, deuces, bro.
Have we nailed the outro of this yet?
Have we nailed anything on this show? I don't know if we have. At the start of this episode, let's go over some housekeeping. If you're listening to this, first of all, thank you. I really appreciate it. But
unless
we got a lot of
Spotify.
New listeners.
Unless you're on Spotify.
You know, I think you scared them all away because...
Thank God.
I'm looking at the numbers, and let's take a look at Yoku's Island Express here. And not a single play from Spotify.
We're done, guys.
Our most popular episode, Gears 5, also not a single play on Spotify.
I fucking... nailed it.
So interesting. But whatever you are listening to us on, we would really, really appreciate it if you gave us a review, particularly on Apple Podcasts. It seems to be where most people are listening. I don't have an Apple device.
Why would you? You're not a dummy.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Most people are listening on iPhones. So if you could pop in and give us a review, it really helps us out. That would be fantastic. But that's all the begging I'm going to do because we have to get on with this episode, which is going to be on Super Lucky's Tale. This game is developed by Playful Corp, which I actually had never heard of them before this game, I guess you could say. But they have also created Creativerse, which is, from what I can see, it's a free-to-play game, and it looks a lot like Minecraft, so good luck with that. But this is kind of their only other game that they've made, so Lucky's Tale, which was the first game, was a VR exclusive, and Super Lucky's Tale was the sequel that was made for consoles.
What? This is a sequel?
It is a sequel.
This is what they got. This is what I get. Really? Is the sequel supposed to be like a lot better, like improve on things? Like
But so yeah, the first one, and you can actually kind of tell, we'll get into the gameplay of it, how you can tell this was sort of derived from a VR game, just based on the way the camera and everything. But what's interesting about this game was is Microsoft actually picked up this game and published it for the Xbox One and the Xbox One X. It was also a launch title for the Xbox One X. So that
Jesus Christ.
Really pushed that Xbox 4K.
they need better staff over there at Microsoft for picking stuff.
Wow. This is an Xbox Play Anywhere game, so it is available on Xbox Game Pass for PC and console. There is DLC for this. There's two DLC packs that are $4.99 each, which add a bunch of challenge missions as well as a couple new levels. One of them is kind of a challenge pack. The other one is more of a stuff pack, I guess you could say. So when it came to 1,000 pointing this game, I would probably rank it as a moderate. So the thing about this one is that it requires a lot of repeat playthroughs unless you are like a super, super completionist and you complete everything on the first go, which is very unlikely to happen. But it also requires you to get like 100,000 coins. So you're going to be doing a lot of sort of grinding, which is not very fun. But this game actually has 2,000 achievement points when you add in the DLC. So if you actually wanted to, quote, complete this game, you would have to buy the DLC for it. So for your achievement hunters out there, probably not going to 1,000 point it, but you can get probably 500 or 600 points pretty easily. Xbox One X enhanced. Is it Xbox One X enhanced? It is. So if you are running on that console, you're going to get 4K at 30 frames per second. I think it actually looks pretty nice. I'm not sure what Pastor thinks. I'm going to go with probably not.
No.
So, but the final thing is, we're adding a new spot here, a new thing. And what we're going to talk about the critic's take, because.
Wait, should we do that at the end of the show?
Maybe. I don't know.
I would prefer at the end of the show. How about that?
All right, we'll do it at the end of the show. So,
that
Super Lucky's Tale. I finished this game. You did not.
Ooh, I never will.
So, therefore, your opinion is invalid. No.
Okay, all right. I'm confused as to why. Here's Old Man Basher. All right. Back in my day, kids' games were just kind of games. I grew up on Mario and Sonic and whatever. It's like, I'm not saying those games were hard or whatever, but they were definitely, they didn't cater to me being a dumb kid. At some point I texted you like, I will never let my children play this game. I could never do it. And I have no children to make them play this game. It's so bland. It's so bland, made by committee. So we need a game that kids can play, and it's like,
see, and that
kids already play games.
What I found interesting was is when I played this game, I never thought of it as a kids game. But then, like when I started like doing research and seeing what other people said, everyone's like, yeah, it's a great game for kids, and I'm like, I didn't think it was a kids game. I thought it was just like a platformer. Like I never got the impression that it was targeted towards children.
It is a platformers for babies. And I'm confused as to I'm just confused at the target audience, because it's like babies don't really buy games. Like they only buy games that they tell parents to buy for them. And they're only going to tell you to buy a game that they think looks cool. For the most part, nothing about this game has any kind of attitude, any kind of flavor, any kind of flair. I mean, like, let's talk about the visuals for a second. Because, I mean, you'd think this sort of cel-shady, or would you call it cel-shady?
No, I what I will say is I think the game looks good, but it doesn't look distinct.
Right.
It doesn't have like if you look at it, you're not gonna be like, oh, that's Super Lucky's Tale. Like it doesn't scream style, but it doesn't look bad.
I think of a game like Sly Cooper, for example, right? That game is not super. It's not super hard. It's not super easy. It's rated E for everyone, obviously, and it's just for everyone. Anyone can pick up and play it. It's still. Oozes so much style and class and substance, where it's like instantly you get a feel of who Sly is and who his friends are, and this great heist they put off. Like everything's up on display, whereas like this game really feels like milk toast. It's just like made by committee. We need a kids game. Somebody pick an animal, a rabbit, done already, a bear. We have that on the console. How about a fox? I can go to fox. It's like, it's just nothing about Lucky that is
yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. There's nothing about it that is like, I don't want to say there's no quality there, but because I think there's
quality there. Yeah,
yeah, there's quality there, but there's just no distinction. There's nothing about it, like you said. Like, I'm not gonna, if I see a Lucky like plushie, I'm not gonna be like, oh yeah, I want that. Like, no, like I'm never going to buy a Lucky, some Lucky merchandise. You know, I'm never gonna. It didn't resonate with me on that level, and I don't think it's gonna resonate with anybody. I mean, he's got nice shoes. I like his shoes.
I mean, even like the so when you're playing a game, you're collecting coins and four leaf clovers. Are they three leaf clovers?
They're four, because Lucky, like four leaf clovers.
I'm just trying to think of the graphic. I kept popping up.
They're called clovers, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like,
your clovers are like your stars, kind of thing.
So exactly. So like, and your coins are your rings or your coins, whatever. Right. So it's like, even those don't have any real flair to it. Like a Super Mario star shines, it glitters, it like. When you get Super Mario Star, the world stops because you just got a star. It's right. Like opening up a Zelda chest for the first time. Whereas like Super Lucky Steel is like, ding, and it's just a four-leaf clover.
But he's lucky.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
If you're so lucky, why does your sister get kidnapped and your world is fucking going to shits? Like, what's so lucky about you? Like Sonic. Why do you call him Sonic? Because he runs fast. Great. Beautiful. Like, I get it. Like, Super Lucky's Tale. Like, the most descriptive thing about the title is the tail, because it's spelled differently because the fox has a tail. Like, who is this game for? Why are they, like, what? It's such a do-nothing game. I don't see the point of it.
No, I agree with everything. This game is a solid 6.5 kind of thing. Like, if I had to throw a ranking on it, and like the reason I say it is because I completed the game and I enjoyed certain parts of it. Like, I liked some of the music, but what was telling for me was that I know a lot of people bounced off this game super hard, because on Xbox, when you get certain achievements, it'll let you know if it's a diamond achievement. That means under 10% of people that have played the game have gotten that achievement. A lot of them were diamonds, and they were just basic progression. It wasn't like, you know, I went out of my way for something. It was like, just beat this world and you get the diamond achievement. And I don't really blame people, because while I enjoyed my time with it, I have tried to play this game probably 3 or 4 times in the past and just bounced right off of it, because they're... What's a shame, though, is that so the game's sort of broken up into 4 different worlds, and each world has levels inside that world. And the first one is the most generic. It's just like the forest, or whatever you want to call it, you know, like the green hill zone kind of aspect. But the later ones are more colorful and more distinct, and the better levels are in the second half of the game. But you have to sort of get through the mediocrity to get to it. And I don't blame anyone for not getting to it, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. I mean, I wish, because I played about 2 hours of this game, and I just felt like, because with a platformer, what you want to do is have your character progress in a way where you're doing things, you're learning new skills, new tricks, and then you're bringing that into the next level with you.
Right.
So by the end of it, you're doing things you weren't doing before in ways you weren't doing them before. With this game, like, it's like they weren't. I felt like it was almost a direction to make it so base that I never felt like Lucky ever got anything really radically new. So you completed the game. Does Lucky get anything? Does he get the Zelda boomerang? Does he get the Sonic supersonic mode? Does he get anything that he doesn't really have from the beginning?
No. The only thing that sort of changes is that there's like these side missions. I don't want to call them side missions, but there's these side clovers that you can do, and they're sort of in every level, and they sort of break up the platforming with more puzzle-based gameplay, I guess you could call it. And those were really enjoyable because they just kind of broke up the monotony. But in terms of Lucky himself, no, like it, no, it, the, you do the same thing from start to finish kind of thing. You never sort of, because you have that burrow mechanic, and
yeah,
where you can like go on the ground, and that's never really used in a different way other than just get the coins underground or go under this thing. And every once in a while, there's a level, I don't think there's any in the first world, but I could be wrong, to where it's almost like an auto scroller type thing. And Lucky's just always running, and it's sort of a reaction based time thing. Like either you have to jump, go in, you know, or burrow, or hit your tail to hit this button kind of thing. Those levels are actually, I think, some of the better ones, just because they sort of change up the gameplay and sort of make you think in a different way. But it was a long way of answering your question to say, Lucky doesn't change. Some of the levels change that sort of break up the monotony, but no, Lucky doesn't ever get better. He doesn't get more lucky.
Yeah. Again, why is he lucky? I don't.
Scarf, man.
What the fuck? Well, that's what I say. He has anything really.
You can get some sweet sunglasses.
You can buy stuff. So you can dress Lucky up to have you want to dress him. Like, again, just something like made by committee, just like, wouldn't it be cool if we could wear a hat? It's like, yeah, I guess, like a fox in a hat. Who would have thought, huh?
You can get some sweet suspenders. I like the suspenders. I thought they looked cool.
I mean, like, I'm gonna go back to this point again. I'm confused as to who this game is for. Do you give this game to like a 3-year-old and say, have at it? Do you give it to an 8-year-old and say, have at it? Like, at what point do you, because whatever child, because this is for children, obviously. Like, so whatever child plays this game, like, what age are they at? And do they know their friends are playing Call of Duty?
I still don't buy that this game is for children.
I disagree.
I don't get that vibe at all. To me, this is a introduction to platforming. Like,
but that's what the first level of every platform is.
Right. That's where I draw my biggest issue with the game, is that the inconsistency of difficulty, and as well as the camera. So like the camera is sort of on a, is axis the right word? Like,
yeah, it's not. Cause
you can't really move the camera 360. It only has like three set positions, which to me, it feels like a layover from the VR version. Cause if you've ever played a VR game, like your head is basically the camera. And obviously you know, most games you can't move 360 because of technical limitations, cords, etc. Some of you can, but so you're basically always like looking through a window style thing. And so you can kind of move your head to the left and right and move forward and back. And that's kind of the way the camera moves. It just sort of either moves to the right or moves to the left. And it sort of changes the perspective. But a lot of times, this is most of the time a 3D platformer. And there were times like, oh, I'm going to make that jump. And I completely missed it. And I was just like, wait, no, like I, okay. So I go back to the jump and I turn the camera and it's like, oh, like that jump is not nearly as accessible as I thought it was. And I wouldn't have seen that unless I turned this camera. But there's even times where, since you can't turn the camera full 360, it's hard to judge some of your jumps. And the reason that, like, I will to this day always say like Mario Galaxy is one of the best, if not the best platformers ever made, with along with Mario Galaxy 2, is because they've nailed the camera and they've nailed the jumping. Like, whenever I died in that game, it was my fault. I very rarely was like, okay, like I couldn't judge that properly. And Super Lucky's Tale, anytime I died, it was usually just kind of like, okay, 90% of the time it was like, okay, like I thought I could make that jump and I couldn't because the camera's bad or the controls are bad or the hitbox is bad, something like that.
Yeah.
I
got hit by a bunch of fireballs because the camera's like almost level to the ground.
Right.
And you can't tilt it. So
you can't tilt it up or down. Yeah.
Right. So like I got hit by more than a few fireballs because like, I'm like, oh, I'm not in the lane of this fireball. Oh wait, I guess I am.
Yeah. So, and there's some bosses later on that like sort of paint the screen with fireballs, and they shoot in a pattern, so you have to sort of jump, you know, in the correct spot so that we don't get hit. And that was, that turned out to be, it wasn't like extremely difficult, but I definitely died there 5 or 6 times just because I had to sort of learn where the game wanted me to jump versus where I think I should jump. And that's kind of 101 for platformers. You really have to be able to, the platforming has to be good, you know, and that's where the game falls short for me. Like, I can get past all of the blandness of it if the platforming is good, because the music's good too. Like, it's good to look at. Like, I'm not bored looking at it. I'm not like enthralled where I am with like something like Super Mario Odyssey, where everything around me, I just want to explore everything in Super Mario Odyssey because it's got so much character. I don't want to do that in Super Lucky's Tale, but if the platforming was good, at least I'd have a good time. And most of the time it was fine, but I never played it and was like, oh, this is fantastic kind of thing. I was just kind of like, it's fine. So
no, yeah, I'll agree with that. If the platforming was better, I would have more fun with it. And I mean, I joked with you, like, I hate this game because he doesn't go fast like Sonic. But yeah. That's also one of the I feel like it's one of the tip offs for me, where I realized who this game is made for, is because it's like he moves so slow and floaty. It's like it's definitely made for an audience who they believe is not ready for someone to make a quick fast jump or difficult jump, really. Like, it's all kind of just blandly like laid out, and it's like I'm not quite sure if this is a VR game. All right, I think this is a VR game for children that they tried to port over, and a lot of the fun mechanics are lost because it lacks the for lack of a better word, the attitude of a console.
Yeah, I will agree that I definitely feel like the VR part of it, because with VR, like I it's hard to talk about, because I don't think you've ever played a VR platformer, have you?
I played that Spider-Man game.
Does that count? No, it doesn't count.
He jumps.
Yeah, but so like I'm thinking more of like Astrobot or Moss like that, to where, because where VR really helps in platforming, and if you've never played it, it's hard to describe, but because you're sort of in the way you're looking at it, you can judge the jumps and the platforming so much better, and that fundamentally changes how the game feels, because you're much more confident in your skills, and it also allows you to sort of hide things in different ways. And it's, this game feels like it just removed all of the things that were only accessible in VR, and then just sort of built on that template instead of actually making the game from the ground up without VR. They just sort of removed the VR parts and then built it. So that's where the blandness just sort of comes from. And it just, yeah, it's not, yeah, it's not good.
Nah, it's really not. And the thing is, like, it's not, I mean, although I hate this game, I truly do. It's not a bad game. It's not badly made, per se. Like, I played worse games.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, it's not the worst game on Game Pass, probably. However, it is so just unbelievably bland, and like the worst thing you could do for me in a video game is be like bland or boring. So I'm just like, what's the point of you? Like, right. Why do you exist? So Super Lucky's Tale should have been. It I could definitely see, like, if I played this in VR, and it put me in this world where because VR is a whole different animal in terms of control. So like, if I'm making those jumps myself, and seeing the way these things look, seeing the environment is different. Right. Pull the camera back out and like play third person, it's like all you're doing is playing a very, very slow platformer with childlike puzzles and systems where it's like, you lost the entire audience, I feel like.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think I don't want to repeat ourselves, so I think it's fair to say that while this isn't a bad game, I think it's hard to like I don't want to say like you shouldn't play it.
I want to say that.
Like, yeah, but like, so the whole point of this is we try to say whether you should pass on it or pass it on, you know, and I
pass on it.
I agree, but the thing is that I could also say that.
But for who though? Like that's right. My question.
I guess that's where I'm having an issue. It's just like I don't think there's anything wrong with this game. Like in terms of like
right, exactly.
Like there's nothing about this game that's just gonna be like, okay, this is impossible. Like you shouldn't play this. But at the same time, but I also have an issue because it's like if someone asked me to pick a platformer on Xbox, I'm just like
that's funny.
I don't.
Why would anybody ask you that's an Xbox?
Somebody, I mean, Microsoft clearly thought they needed one.
If you bought an Xbox, you wanted to play Gears of War and racing games.
And third party. I mean,
they even lost that this time.
Right, this time around. Yeah. But the issue becomes when it like the only thing that I can that comes to mind is like Rhyme, maybe, and. And I really like Rhyme, but it's not really a platformer per se. And we already talked about the Messenger, but the Messenger is a whole different type of platform. So it's hard. Like if you have Game Pass and you want like as a game on Game Pass, you can't really get anything else. So it's hard to be like you should pass on it, but as a game, you should definitely pass on it. So,
oh man.
If that makes sense, what I just said.
It kind of does.
Right. Like, if you told me, like, I want to play something, like, what's the closest thing to just, like, a basic platformer I can get? That's the only answer. And because, like, Yoku's Island Express is technically a platformer. Right? Like,
is that technically a platformer?
Technically, it is.
Who's judging these?
I mean, like, I guess Ori and the Blind Forest, but that's still. I don't. I think this is a problem for Microsoft in general. Right. So, but I think we can come to the consensus: pass on it. Don't. Your time is better spent elsewhere on Super Lucky's Tale. Even though I finished it and I enjoyed it, I still just can't. I can't really. I can't pass it on. In good faith.
Unless you're a giant baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if you're a giant, like, okay. So like, hear me out. If you are a grown person, you have grown person skills. However, you are a baby. This is the perfect game for you.
That's extremely specific. But I'll go with it, I guess. So this randomizer is not doing it for us, huh?
I mean, we got shot in the foot twice.
Yeah,
we can't get hit three times in a row, right?
I don't know, can we? We're gonna find out. So that's gonna do it for this episode in terms of Super Lucky's Tale. But as always, and not as always.
Hold on. You forgot your new segment.
Oh, the critics' take. So we're gonna say pass on it.
Yeah, we wrong.
Just to see what other people are saying, the average score for this game is around a 6. So I think. We're pretty dead on. Couple reviews. Here's a couple highlights. Super Lucky's Tale is a simple yet engaging platforming game that all ages can enjoy thanks to its pick-up-and-play experience. The game, however, may be too simple for some, and the easy and short experience may be a turnoff. Super Lucky's Tale is a classic platformer with some problems like impossibility to control the camera and imprecision during jumps. So I think we're sort of agreeing with the general consensus on this one. So that's interesting, whereas the What was the other one? Yoku's Island Express, we were on the high side where a lot of people were kind of more in the 8 range. Now I'm like, no, that game's fucking amazing. So
it's perfect 10.
Yeah, that game's fucking incredible. So but a couple things. We are gonna we're gonna do it again. We're gonna roll the randomizer on this one. But with Gears 5 being our most popular episode, we wanted to say that at the end of October, we should have an episode before then, hopefully, the Outer Worlds is gonna be debuting on Game Pass. So that's the game from Obsidian, and that's the newly acquired studio from Microsoft, and that game will be debuting on Game Pass. So we're gonna play that one for that end of October, early November. But before then, it's time to spin that wheel.
Oh man.
Oh man, I gotta load up the app because I forgot to. All right, I'm gonna click this button. Are we ready?
No, we're not ready.
It's gonna be bad. Three, news. Two, one. Oh shit. I don't know if we can I don't know if we can do this one.
Wait, what?
Well, okay. So what we have landed on is Killer Instinct.
By accident. This is really random.
It was random.
I almost need to take.
So man, that's a tough beast to tackle. Because man, that's
this might break up the podcast, because if I don't like this game,
I'm gonna be livid. So okay, but the problem with Killer Instinct is that I don't think that we'll be able to get through and really play that game in a week or two time.
What
you know
does
what
that
I'm saying?
Even mean? It's a fucking versus fighting game,
right? When, but I think for a Killer Instinct, I think we have to play each other a lot, and we are not on the same skill level. No offense. Like, I have played a lot of
Killer Instinct. I'll have you know, I jumped up to your level in Mario Tennis pretty quickly.
Oh man. So do we go with, do we roll again, or do we go with Killer Instinct?
How about this? I'm going to download Killer Instinct anyway, so I can learn a basic move or two.
All right.
And then you hit the randomizer, and we will circle back to Killer Instinct.
Okay. That's fair. Because that's actually, like, I never even thought of Killer Instinct, and that's actually fascinating to me, because I have been trying to get someone else to play that game.
Anybody else.
Like, anybody, because I like that game a lot. So, all right, let me pull up this app again. All right, randomizer. Already played that game, Halo Wars Definitive Edition. Froze. There we go. Oxenfree from Night School Studios. I've played this game. Have you played this game?
It looks indie. Oh fuck.
Oh, it's indie. It's indie as hell.
Oh fuck.
So.
I hate indie games. Well, Yoku's an indie game, I guess.
Yeah.
That's true. So
I hate these indie games.
Oh, so, like,
you guys know what I'm talking about. You know what? You guys know what I'm talking about. Right off the bat. I say these indie games.
We're screwing the system up. I want a game neither one of us has played. All right. I'm hitting the randomizer until we get to a game that neither one of us has freaking played. All right. Hitting the button. Here we go. I've already played Snake Pass.
Okay, great.
I've already played Dead Rising 4.
I played that too.
I've already played Oxenfree. This one's a long spin. It's just going to keep spinning, I guess. I think I broke it. Oh, Killer Instinct. God damn it.
Did we play all again the Game Pass? All right, podcast over, guys. Yeah, episode 8.
All right, here we go. Found one. Operancina, The Stolen Sun.
What?
Never heard of it. Zen Studios' modern homage to the classic first-person dungeon crawlers that take you to the land of Operancina, a unconventional fantasy world inspired by a faraway land referenced in countless Hungarian folk tales. An old-school turn-based battle system combined with inspiration from Central European mythology to offer a RPG experience that feels unique yet also familiar. So, this is it. We are going to be playing Operancia, The Stolen Sun on the next episode. And then possibly the episode after that will be Killer Instinct. And then possibly the episode after that will be The Outer Wilds. All right. We sort of abused the button there, but...
Well, for good reason.
Right. Because I feel like we kept playing stuff that I had already played, which I think put... I don't want to say, like, it defeats the purpose of the podcast, but I want something that's neither one of us have played, which I guess is kind of my fault because I play too much stuff. Like, I'm definitely that person on Game Pass that will, like, oh, this looks fine, and I'll play it and put 6 hours into it and be like, ah, that sucked. Like, so... But all right, that's going to do it for this episode. Hit that like. Nope, don't hit that like button because there isn't one. Subscribe to us and hit that review button on whatever podcast service you're listening to. It really helps us out. You can find us on Twitter at @play_tested. And you can also find us on YouTube at @play_tested if you want to see some of our reviews. Or I guess it's mainly mine. Just did a review on Doom Annihilation, the straight-to-DVD and Blu-ray Doom movie.
Was it great?
You definitely want to pass on that one. Definitely want to pass. But if you want to see why, go check it out. NBC Universal tried to do a copyright strike on me, and I sent them an angry letter saying fair use. They said okay, so you can now watch it. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We will see you next time with Operancia, whatever I called it.
Frozen Sons?
There you go.